Kind of curious this morning. While we didn't really worship right there, but I'm going to preach. All right. I just think we could have had a really, really good time with the Lord if we had wanted to have one right then. Amen. I don't care if the house is full or not. I'm going to act like it's empty if y'all are with y'all. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12 is where our main reading is going to come from. And before we go there, 2 Chronicles 16, 9. We're going to do a little bit of a reading right here if y'all don't mind. Amen. It don't matter. Y'all are a captive audience for about another hour. So it really don't matter, right? The title of this message is You Could Have Tapped Into It If You Had Wanted To. Amen? You could have tapped into it if you had wanted to. Everything that he just sang about, he really just sang our message this morning. So everything that he's saying was in the message. So God's good. Because I didn't call him and tell him to sing that. I didn't even say, hey, do this. He sang it, and the message is going to connect so much with this. But you could have, there's going to be a lot before we get to the big point, but I want y'all to hear what kind of God we have. I think this might be the most relevant message I've preached here at Flat Top Church since I've been here. What I mean is, I think everybody here needs this message. You say, well, you probably said some stuff like that before, but I'm saying relevant. I'm talking about apply. I don't care if these whole altars fill up and we ain't got no room for you to pray. Be attentive to what God's trying to do this morning and let Him do it. And if God speaks to you during this message, come. If anybody in here has had a past with recovery or drug addiction, alcohol addiction, things like that, would you meet me after church or sometime give me a text or call me? I'm thinking about doing a different kind of service here, more of a panel type service where we do a testimony of several people at one time. When he was singing that song, God put it on my heart. Not that song, but the choir worship song. God said, do that. So I got a green light for that. So if you're interested in maybe being on a panel and doing an open mic testimony that we just get real gritty and real open and in front of everybody type thing, let me know. Have I killed enough time for you to find 2 Samuel chapter 12, 1 through 8, and 2 Chronicles 16, 9? All right, well, hang on. Let's go. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. 2 Samuel chapter 1, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. That's what kind of God we have. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's the kind of God we have. We have a God who's going, He's looking into this earth for the ones that'll have a heart towards Him where He can show out in your life. But He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants every bit of your life. Not the bad, because I can give Him the bad, but the good too. And the good stuff that you might not say that are good, that somebody might say is a sin or is wrong, you got to give that to Him too. I didn't want to give God my marriage. I didn't want to give God my sexual life. I didn't want to give God my money. I didn't want to give God all my time. But He wants all of it. And if you give Him all of it, He'll show out in your life. If you hold some of it back, if you hold parts of it back, you're going to be in a war. And the war that you're going to be in is most of the time in your head with yourself. I love amens. 2 Samuel 12, 1, and the Lord sent Nathan. These two verses have nothing to do with one another. It's just kind of setting the table. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him. And with his children it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom. And was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto him, unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herds, to dress the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man's that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives in thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things." Set the table. David forgot his sin. David had forgot about his sin. It's about 9 months since he did it. But here's kind of what he did. He went unto another man's wife and got her pregnant. And then he killed her husband because the husband wouldn't go in unto her and cover his sin and have sex with his wife and kind of pass it off as his child, so he couldn't cover it up. So what did he do? He murdered him. He sent him to the hottest part of the battle and had him draw back from him, and it had him killed. David had forgot his sin. Have you ever forgot that you're a sinner? Have you ever forgot that you've messed up? Have you ever got in a position where you've done some real messed up stuff? And time goes on and you forget that you've done some real messed up stuff. I mean, David is just rocking on. He's still the king of Israel. He's still being blessed by God. And guess what? He's just living his life like nothing ever happened. He's living in the home with the woman that he impregnated, the woman that had another husband, and the man was dead. And he's just living his life, and she's pregnant and going to have a baby, and everything's just rocking on swimmingly. But instead, guess what? God is watching. God is paying attention to things. And he'll let you go through a period of time where you don't repent or you don't ask forgiveness or you don't talk to him. He'll let you seem like it's fine with him, but it's not. That's an individual, that's a church, that's a nation, that's everybody, friend. Our country's going through a lot of stuff right now and wondering why we're hemorrhaging, we're dying as a country. It's because our sin has gone unchecked for so long. Because we live in a country where we call sin right and right wrong. So I'm just saying, I'd rather have you mad at me than to have God mad at me at this point. Sometimes we forget our sin, though. We forget we're jacked up people, too. Sometimes we can go to church so long we can pretend like we got it all together and forget that we've messed up. But then all of a sudden, God doesn't forget, and he sends Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet, he sends him with a parable. No, put it this, write this down. He sends him with a mirror. Because see, sometimes God will use a parable or a story or Bible stories or Bible parables to put a mirror in front of your face, because when you're weak and you're messed up and you've got sin in your life, it's hard for you to admit it. It's easy for you to blame other people. I'll say it again. It's easier for you to blame other people than to admit your own sin. So a lot of times God will use, he'll send a prophet, a preacher, the Bible, and he'll use a story to you. Amen? Nathan rolls up and he's kind of, you know, have you ever came to church and you thought it was going to be a good service, maybe like today, and you thought you were going to get over and you're going to go worship and you're going to go have a great time, but all of a sudden God had another plan. He was gonna put a mirror in front of your face. Nathan shows up and he's telling David this awesome story. He said, listen, I got this story to tell you. And David's like, "Man, I love stories. Go ahead. And I need a good God story, because I got some stuff going on in my head and some stuff going on in my heart that I haven't dealt with. So go ahead and tell me a story. I'd like to get my mind off of it." Some of you would have loved it if I would have came in here and preached today and preached on somebody else instead of you, and it would have made you feel better about you instead of making you deal with you. David's like, "Tell the story. I'd love to hear it." He said, there was these two people in a town, and they had sheep. One was rich and one was poor. It's amazing he started the story like that because it's amazing. Sometimes we think rich people are somebody who's got more things than us or more things that we like than us. We think they're rich, but they're really not. Now, listen, I want you to hear this. David had he had wives, concubines, and he had all kind. He could have had anything he wanted as far as women goes, and he was never satisfied. No, golly. Some of you, I'm preaching, I don't care if you like this or not. Some of you are chasing after an ideal of something that you think somebody else has that you don't have, and you think if you get what they have, you're going to be happy, and come to find out they're not even happy. Amen? They're the coolest people. They got everything. You find out they're not happy with themselves. They're bitter. They're angry. They're trying to change themselves. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. My hair's too long. My hair's too short. I'm not this. I'm not that. Praise God. You know what? God made you. You're the only one of you. You're a beautiful you. Never heard that. You're a beautiful you. You're the only one. You're an original. Amen? When somebody comes to you, you don't look this, you don't look that good. I don't want to be looking like you. I'm an original. Amen? Why would I want to be a counterfeit? Never mind, I'm sorry. Why would I want to be a counterfeit you? The real thing don't even appeal to me. Just saying. Listen, we're chasing. We thought, man, David's got it all. But David wasn't even happy with what he had. I mean, he's out looking for something else when he should have been happy with what he had. But everybody else thinks he's rich and he's got everything. But then we talk about the poor guy, and the poor guy, listen to how he loved his sheep. Man, sometimes we ride by houses and ride by people and say, man, I wish what they had. But if you walked into a trailer park or a single wide home or somebody that's got a little shack and you go into their home, maybe they love each other a little bit deeper and they're not in love with their stuff. Maybe you got all the stuff, but you ain't got none of the love, and you need all the love because your stuff just won't do it. Man, Uri loved his sheep. He loved his wife. I mean, he got. Did you hear the relationship that poor man had with his sheep? He brought it in every night, and it ate off his plate, and drank out of his cup, and he kept it warm, and the kids knew it. No, I'll just keep preaching. The kids knew Uri and Bathsheba. Hey, guess what? The kids knew the whole family. Some of y'all are chasing after the American dream, trying to provide for your kids, but that you've never provided them you and your family. They don't know you. They know the stuff that you got them, but they don't know you. I just want my kids to have more than I had. Well, what if you would give them you? Every adult in here, if you'd be honest with yourself, can remember that the greatest stories you ever told about your mom or your dad are things that you did with them, not things that you received from them. Well, if I get them that car, they're going to be happy. If I get them that game and sit, they're going to be happy. If I get them that dress, if I get them this, if they have that, no, they're going to be happy when they know that you love them. That you spent the time with them. If they know you intimately. That didn't even cost you. Now, that wasn't even supposed to be in this message. Rich, poor, and poor. Rich people and poor people. We've got them labeled, but we don't have it correct. You can be rich as all get out and be poor by the way you treat people and the way you respect people, the way you honor, and the way you work. Amen? There's a lot of poor people that outwork rich people. They just have different opportunities. Amen? I'm preaching. I love how he does it. Let's look at this one part. Rich and poor. David's anger. Can we get there? David's anger over it? You know what he did? See, the parable reached up under. See, David is weak right now and he's all messed up, right? He's got sin in his life, but he didn't want to confess it. So God sneaks up under the wire and gets to his emotions before he knows what he's talking about. Has God ever snuck in under the wire and got to your emotions before he knew he was talking to you? You know what he said? See, David was a shepherd. Amen. That's why he used this parable. David loves sheep. And as messed up as he had gotten, he still had a passion for. When he lived in the sheepfold, he still had honor with God, and he still had a heart towards God. And that's where he sung most of his psalms at. So God went back there to bring him back to the place. God don't mind to start over, and the devil don't either. Amen. Never mind. But he got in there, and he goes, "There's this man he had lambs and a sheep, and you know he had one, and this guy took it away from him, and he slaughtered it just to feed some people that were coming through instead of slaughtering his one of his many sheep." And David was ticked off. David listened to it. And you hear what he said? He said, "This man shall surely die. He shall surely die, and he'll pay back fourfold. That's going to happen." Hey, David, it's a lamb, dude. Calm down. How soon do we forget our sin? David is an adulterer, a murderer. He bribery, theft, manipulation. And guess what he does? He gets mad when a sheep has been slaughtered. I wish y'all could be real with me. Have you ever got more mad at somebody else's sin than yours? You're outraged. You're tore up. You're ticked off. I'm mad. I can't believe that person has the audacity. Amen? God knows my heart. But to them, it's a sinner. Oh, it's an issue. Me and God are working it out. Oh, you got a serious problem, sister. You got a serious problem. You don't need to show you. But oh, God knows He knows the intent. How soon do we forget? Man, I wrote this down up there on that notes. You know what it said? God has a way of shutting your mouth. Stick around a while. God has the ability and the wherewithal to eventually get you to shut your mouth. No, I'm not. I'll just keep preaching. He's got the ability through things that happen in your life, through your kids, through your job, through your failures, to make you shut your mouth. Instead of you saying, "I can't believe they did that," it'll be like, "I'm capable." Amen. See, when I read about David and Bathsheba, I think I'm capable of everything David did. August 28, 04, before I got saved, there was a murderer in this guy. There was a liar in this guy. There's an adulterer in this guy. There's a guy who can manipulate some story, who can bribe somebody, who could tell a lie better than anybody. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. When I see that, I see me. And when somebody says, "That person's sin, they got a sin. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about this sin?" I say, "Yeah, we need to pray for them. Because their sin all of a sudden is amplifying and magnifying my sin and where I came from. And if they're going through that kind of trouble, they're going to need prayer. They're going to need some people to pray. They're going to need some people to love them. And they're going to need some truth, no doubt about it. They need Bible truth, but they need love and they need prayer." So before we tell anybody else, why don't we tell God on them? Before we get on the phone, before we get on Facebook, Twitter, before we get on there and tell somebody else, why don't we just go ahead and get together and tell God on them? And while we're talking to God about it, I wouldn't be surprised if God would come back with a list of things that He ain't too proud about us about. Told you it was relevant. Told you it was going to be spot on. Told you how it was going to be. You could have escaped. It would have been awkward, but you could have got out of here. He was ticked off. And God, all of a sudden, man, God is wearing him, showing him. You know what he says? He said, "This man's going to pay." "I heard about your husband." "Yeah, but why don't you deal about your wife?" "I heard about your kids." "What about your kids?" "Amen." "I don't like the fact that you didn't do this." "Yeah, I know, but you're mean." Amen? Amen? Well, I mean, let me ask you, let me tell you this. I want to tell you the truth. I mean, it's easy to be a mean Christian. How many souls are you going to win if everybody just thinks you is mean? Mean-spirited, hard-hearted, got all the rules, but none of the compassion, none of the grace, none of the mercy, none of the love for anybody. You can only tell people what they're doing wrong. You ain't got no solutions. I've got a solution. bend and bow and cry out to God. He's got more for you than you think He does. He loves you deeper than I could ever love you. He'll forgive you faster than anybody will. He'll forgive and actually forget it. Thank you. Has your love ever been, has anybody ever took your love for granted? Has anybody ever took your love for granted? I was going to work this a different way, but God wouldn't let me. Have you ever got to a place in love that you had more to give, but nobody wanted it? Has anybody ever tried to love somebody and they didn't want your love? No, you had more for them, but they never tapped into it. You had more for them, but they never tapped into it. They wanted to get out of a problem. They wanted to get out of a situation. They wanted to get out of trouble. They wanted to get out of something, but they never. You were sitting there going, they left me too soon. I was about to give them the best of me. I wish we could be real, man, because y'all are quiet. I was about to give them the best of me. They hadn't seen that yet. See, listen, we've dealt with David's sin. Is that correct? But did you notice something? God didn't correct David about murder or adultery or lying or stealing. You know what he got on to him about? Taking advantage of his position. Whew. Sometimes God will put you in a position just to see how you'll handle it. How you'll handle people. Sometimes God will lend you power just to see how you'll wield it out. We want God to deal with us one way, but we'll deal with people another way. Woo! Oh, be quiet, preacher. And y'all are a tough crowd to preach to. You're quiet. I'm just going to chalk it up to you're really listening good. Amen? Listen to this. David, he was more upset about this. Did you hear the part where he said, at any time you would have wanted more, I would have gave you such and such. You know why God was mad at him? You know why God was upset with him? Not because he had committed adultery, not that he had committed murder, that he didn't give God the chance to be the all in all for him. I'm preaching now. Then you, I don't care if you get anything out of this message, exactly what I'm about to preach right here. Some of you are only giving God the stuff that you want to give him, and you don't even know who God really is. See, you're wanting to give him your sin. No, you're not. You're wanting to get into heaven. Or I'm going to go to heaven. Hey, guess what? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But not everybody wants to give their whole life to Jesus. Amen. See, what Jesus wants is he wants the opportunity to him to show out in your life. No, listen, God don't want your life. If you really get a hold of this right here, God don't want a hold of your life to make you a miserable person in your life. He wants to show out in your life. I'm telling you right now, if you give him your whole life, look, can I be real good right here, real honest? If y'all don't like this, you can just find somebody else. God, I really don't care. If you can't give God your sexual life, guess what? You're in trouble. You know why? Because God's got a better one than you think he does. That went over well. Just listening. See, there was a woman at a well. She had a husband. Well, matter of fact, she had five of them. And the one she was living with now. And you know what her biggest problem was? She didn't know if God could handle a marriage. God, can you handle my marriage? I have a hard time staying married. But I don't know. I'm preaching. I was wondering if you could handle it, because I like to kind of run that part of my life. Don't we do a terrible part of the part that we run? God, I kind of like doing the things I do. Listen, let me get off sex, because y'all are looking at me like I got two heads. Okay, hey, look, I like to deal with my emotional stress and my anxiety and my fear my way. I like to take some medication, I like to smoke some pot, and I like to drink some. But God, I don't know if you can handle my emotional situation. I don't know if I can trust you with that. Amen? I don't know if I can trust you with that. I think I'll handle everything else. And God, You handle the eternity thing. But that's not what God wants to handle. God wants to handle every bit of it. And He wants to show out. You know what He wants to do with you? If you really want to know this, He wants you to be able to walk down any street that you used to walk down, any hallway you used to walk down, any job you used to walk in, and people go, "I can't believe that's her. I can't believe that's him." If you had met that guy right there before, if you would have met her before, you wouldn't even think that's the same person. Because she put all her trust, he put all her trust in Jesus Christ, and He is showing out. She used to be afraid. She used to have anxiety. She used to have marriage trouble. She used to have sexual issues. They used to have money. Hey, money issues. You know why you have money issues? Because you can't trust God with your money. Oh, there goes the preacher. Preacher on money. He just wants her money. I don't give a rip about your money. But let me tell you something. I would never want to worship anywhere for free. I wouldn't want to go to a good restaurant and they have good meals and eat there 2 or 3 days a week and never pay them a dime. And never pay the waiter, the waitress, or anybody that done any of the work around there. Just say, "Man, y'all got some good food up in here." Yeah, it's kind of hard keeping the lights on. And, you know, our waitress, she's nice and polite. And the cook, he's a jam-up cook. But we had a hard time paying him, you know, to keep. Well, I'll be praying for you. Sorry. Ain't it amazing? God just don't want one part of your life. He wants it all. You know, it ain't as difficult then when you do go through tough times, when you do go through trial, when you are in the valley. When you're in the valley and you're in a relationship with a mountaintop God, when you go into the valley, you find out He's still there. He's still there. I got a question with you. A simple question is, they come get a song of invitation. I'm telling you, I got one simple question. What are you holding back from God? What are you holding back from God this morning? What part of your life do you not think you can give God? What are you not willing to give Him? What part are you not willing to give Him? And let me ask you this. Is there some things in your life that if we'd put them up on this projector screen this morning, they just flashed on by? Maybe you forgot about some sin that's going on in your life? Some stuff that you hadn't confessed? Because while they're getting this ready, I want you to hear this. God hates sin. Listen, now y'all don't understand this, but He hates sin so much that when His Son became sin, He crushed Him. The minute Jesus took the sins of the world on His person, God crushed Him. If you don't release your sin to God and ask Him to forgive you and let Him lead your life from that day forward, if you stand before Him in judgment, He will crush you. He will crush you. Nobody likes to hear that about God. But God is two things. God is a loving God because He gave you a way out of your sin, but God is a just God. Amen. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If God spoke to your heart at all, please, please, these altars are open. You have a time to pray. Come pray. There's people coming already. Come pray.